to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for the fourth Sunday of Advent, December 18th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams. And it's the story of St. Joseph told from his point of view.
My name is Joseph. You can call me Joe if you like. When it comes to the Christmas story, most of the attention is on Mary and the boy, and that's as it should be. But from time to time, I get asked about my part in the whole thing. So I thought I'd give you my story for what it's worth. Tell you how things looked from my perspective. First off, let me correct something. Everybody says I was old. You know, the carol, Joseph was an old man. Well, the truth is I was a few years older than Mary, but I wasn't old. You have to remember, back in those days, nobody got very old. If you made it to 40, you were ancient. Now, I grew up in Nazareth, just like Mary. We were neighbors. It was a small town. I mean, really small, like blink if you miss it small. There were maybe 400 people in the town altogether. So needless to say, we all knew each other's families, each other's business. I mean, everything about each other. I guess we always knew we were going to get married, even when we were kids. And that was fine with me. Mary came from a good family, a religious family. Her mom and dad were very respected. According to one story, Anna was having trouble getting pregnant with her, and Joachim prayed and fasted for 40 days until she got pregnant. So anyway, we were betrothed. Now, marriage in those days wasn't quite the same as it is today. It was more of a process. We got betrothed, that was a ceremony where we made promises to each other, but it wasn't the actual marriage. We were waiting a little bit until Mary's parents thought she was old enough, even though she was technically legally old enough. But I was happy to wait for her. Then the unthinkable happened. Somehow, she got pregnant. Everybody in town was shocked. I mean, nobody has any secrets. We all knew she didn't have any other guy, and she was with her parents all the time. Honestly, I didn't know what to do. Everybody was coming up to me and asking, "What are you gonna do, Joseph?" One guy suggested, if you can get this, that I have her stoned to death for adultery. He said it was the law, it was in the Bible. I almost decked him. The consensus was, however, that the marriage would have to be annulled, that we would just pretend it never happened. I was heartbroken. You see, I had already come to love her. But in a small village, you just can't escape gossip and scandal. Well, I'll never forget what happened next. I was having trouble sleeping, as you can imagine, but that night I was exhausted physically and emotionally, and I had a dream. Now, maybe you've had them before. I've had some weird dreams before, but nothing like this. This one seemed real somehow, even more real than reality, if that makes any sense. It doesn't really make any sense, but you get the idea. It's hard to describe. Anyway, I saw a man or a woman or something. Later on, I figured it must have been an angel. There was this sense of presence, of power. Even in the dream, I was afraid. And a voice spoke to me, like right inside my head. I usually can't remember dreams, but I remember this one word for word. The words were burned into me. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Whew. Well, when I woke up, I went for a long walk to think things over. I stopped by Mary's place, but her dad wouldn't let me in. Said Mary had gone off to her cousin's place in the hill country. I couldn't blame her. I wanted to get out of town for a few days too. So I just kept walking. I'm a guy who likes to be active. I work with my hands and I hate just sitting around. So I walked and I thought things over. I thought about Mary and everything I knew about her. I realized that no matter what had happened, I still loved her. More than that, I trusted her. And I imagined that the village and all the people would be talking, and frankly, I didn't give a fig about what they thought. I thought about that dream too. Oh boy, did I. Was it real? Was that really an angel? Was Mary's baby also somehow God's baby? What would that mean for her? What would that mean for us? As I imagined what might be coming, I realized that nothing would ever be the same. But something had shifted in me. If you had asked me before that night what my purpose was, I would have laughed at you. I don't have a purpose. I build things. I make things. People call me a carpenter, but that's kind of a misnomer. I work in stone mostly. I mean, look around. Do you see many trees in Nazareth? I was looking forward to getting married and having a son that I could teach my craft to, that maybe we could work together someday. I thought about something else. I remembered learning as a kid about the Bible. There was another Joseph once upon a time. That Joseph also had dreams. He dreamed about how God was going to save his people from Pharaoh. And you know what? Joseph's dreams came true. That gave me a sense of peace. Maybe I could trust this dream after all. And maybe my life had a purpose after all. Because if the dream was true, if the angel was right, I had a job to do. I had to get married to Mary and be ready for her baby, a baby boy. The angel even gave him a name, Jesus, which means God saves. I knew that from that moment on, my job was to take care of them, to protect them, to provide for them. And just then, something clicked. It felt right somehow. Let me tell you, there is nothing in life more satisfying than knowing your purpose and carrying it out. So that's what I did. When Mary got back from Elizabeth's house, we got married. We got some looks, you know how small towns are, but we didn't care. I think you know the rest of the story. It was quite an adventure, let me tell you. As far along as Mary was, we still had to travel to Bethlehem. It was crazy. We had to stay in a cave with animals, and that's where the boy was born. I'm sure you know about the shepherds and those Eastern wizards, you know, that whole business. And it was strange. I kept on having those dreams. That angel came back in my dreams and told me one night that we had to get out of town quick, that Herod was on our tail. So we did. We went all the way to Egypt, just like that other Joseph did all those years ago. And I had a final dream when it was finally time to come home. Boy, was it good to be home. My shop was still there and my house, and we settled down for a while. And I got to live out my own personal dream. I got to raise the boy and teach him my craft. He took to it real good too. We would make things in my workshop together. Sometimes Mary would come in and watch us. And then we'd head over to Sepphoris, a big Roman town over the hill, where they were building all kinds of stuff. That's where the work was mostly. But we all knew Jesus was destined for bigger things. At Sepphoris, he talked to all the traders. People from all over the world came through there. Sometimes he'd get this look on his face, and I knew he was thinking about his father, his real father. But I did my best by him. I remember once when he was still a kid, we went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. The whole town went. It was quite a thing. While we were there, the boy disappeared. We looked all over. Now remember, we were small town folk in the big city, and we kind of freaked out, I'll tell you. But then Mary said, "I bet I know where he is." And she was right as usual. We went to the temple, and there he was. He was right in the middle of a group of religious scholars. You know, those old guys with the robes and the long beards? We watched for a minute and we were amazed. It was like Jesus was right at home. He was talking and they were all listening and nodding their heads. That was pretty eye-opening. Later on, we asked him about it. You know what he said. I was doing my father's business. You'd think I might be a little offended by that, but I wasn't. I knew from those dreams that we didn't own him. He was bigger than all of us. I was happy just to be his dad. Well, when Jesus was about 20, when he had reached his full manhood, I took sick. Cancer is what I think you'd call it. We didn't know what it was. Mary and Jesus were right by my side. When it was time, they buried me in the tomb where my dad had been buried before me. I gotta tell you, I was sad to leave. I wanted to be there when Jesus fulfilled his destiny, when those dreams I had dreamed finally came true. But I have no regrets. I had a job to do, and I did it to the best of my ability. My part in the story was small, but it meant the world to me. I think that's the way it is for a lot of us. It may take a while, but hopefully we all eventually figure out our purpose. And if we have the courage, we act on it. So my advice to you is, if you have a dream with an angel in it, wake up quick. No, I'm just kidding. If you have one of those dreams, pay attention. If God can use an old workman like me, he can use anybody. He can use you. Because my son still has work to do in this world, and you are the only helpers he has to work with. What kind of world will you build with him?